I think we can podcast now. Why not?
Right,
are we still there? Because, you know.
All right, here we go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 489 of the Overseas Connection podcast. Today is August 19th, 2018. I am one of your hosts today, Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law on Xbox Live. I think it's Murphy's Law 1969 on PSN and OC underscore Murphy's Law on pretty much everything else, including Twitter. On the podcast today, we have a couple fine folk that I want to introduce before we go into any more bits and bobs. We have spinning the discs with the fantastic tin cup ear cans, Mr. Mark Wright.
Yes, hello. Yes, the tin cups are back. I didn't have one last week.
It was a little strange, to be honest. Yeah,
I didn't watch last week's. I just audio. I was an audio only listener.
Right.
So you're well, Mark. Always
95% of a podcast. You get an extra 5% if you watch it.
That 5%, man, it makes a difference.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's fine. You got Kim on.
I don't speak. By the way,
right.
Again, not liking you right now. I just marvel at the introduction now. Like the intro sequence you have built out for this podcast. Is tremendous.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I'm giving you, a compliment here, Mark.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's a compliment.
Yeah.
All right. Now keep quiet. Let me introduce the other most important person on the podcast. Yeah. Miss Kim Woods.
Yeah. Hi. How are you? You know, I'm from the depths of hell, but I'm not. And, you know, I'm GamerGirl27. That's Xbox. That's Twitter. And it's a variation on PlayStation. I'm not going into it right now. So yeah, that's me.
Apparently, my name, by the way, on the feed is Bongo the Sane. Just in case.
Bollocks, I need to do something.
That's me, Bongo the Sane. Let me try and do my best Lucky Charms accent. I mean, Irish accent. Aye! This is Marcanix. I mean, Bongo the Sane. Gamer Girl. No. This is Murphy's Law. Yes. What can go wrong will go wrong. That's what I bring to the table, Mark. What I bring to the table for us. Listen, if you're wondering what the heck you just started listening to, this is a weekly video game podcast. It's a life podcast, too, that we talk about all kinds of stuff on here centered around video games. And you can catch us live, if you so choose, every weekend on Sundays at 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast. We are live on twitch.tv/OC podcast. Yes, I saw that, Mark. Also on mixer.com/OC podcast and on youtube.com/OverseasConnectionPodcast because, yes, I am a pain in the ass. And, yes, we wanted to be just a little bit more of a pain in the butt on YouTube. All right. With that out of the way, you can also, of course, listen to us via recording. So if you have iTunes, you have Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you find your podcasts.
Even on Alexa now. TuneIn Radio. Yeah. TuneIn Radio, we're on there. Just shout out for the OC podcast.
Yep. And for all of you Alexa owners, please turn your volume up quite loud. Alexa, shut everything off. all right. We have a new Podbean follower. I want to give a shout out to Lizzie Weir. Lizzie Weir. That's how I'm saying it. If it's not how you actually say it, I apologize. Apparently, nobody was born this past week, so no birthdays to shout out. So if we miss your birthday,
it is SMH's. It's Susan's today, but we did shout out last week.
Oh, so you don't get it. You don't get a suit. Sorry, Susan. No shout outs for you. One is enough.
One is enough.
Can't do more than one. Yeah. Yes.
We can't be seen to giving preferential treatment to anybody, can we?
No. No, there's no preferential treatment. All right. Why don't we just kind of kick this off? I think it's going to be an intimate, cozy podcast. Just the three of us today. There's probably a song we could make out of that. No. Never.
There you go.
Mark, on it. I love it. All right. Let's get into some story time.
Everyone here loves story time, our favorite time of the day. When we gather around his great big chair and
Greg DeLacy
comes to stay.
Robin never gives me a chance. Yeah. Robin never lets me get a chance to play that jingle.
Yeah. He should. It's a solid jingle. And you might have to change that out now to pain in the ass.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of. Oh, I can't say. That's just mean. That's me being mean. Kim, let's talk about your stuff. What's going on in your life?
You were going to say, speaking of pain in the asses, right? Uh-huh.
And then, that was leading right into Tony. But he's not a pain in the ass. He's just adorable.
No, most days. Yeah. I know. Tony's starting school on Monday. He's starting his first day of kindergarten.
Wow.
Okay.
Mia starts in September. Yeah, not far from Mia. She does half days. So,
Monday for him will be a half day, but then it'll be full days after that. So I'm excited. And, as you can all imagine, because, he's like my child, except I didn't give birth to him. So
right. In some respects, you have some of the benefits. I mean, not giving birth is definitely a plus.
Exactly.
Yes. School. Yeah. Colin actually starts school on Tuesday. Tuesday, for some reason, I don't know why. They couldn't just start off the first day of the week, but Tuesday it is. So I cannot wait for that. not because I don't mind having Colin home from school on the surface, but because I work from home, it becomes challenging because we put Colin in daycare. His daycare is like 20, 25 minutes one direction away from us because it's a specialized daycare. So taking him to daycare is not an easy task. So it's literally an hour of my day basically gets used up trying to get him back and forth with daycare. It just depends upon when we're trying to get him off the daycare because the other unfortunate thing about this daycare, unlike other daycares that actually start up early in the morning, often for parents with, jobs, this one we're not allowed to drop him off before 9 a.m. because they don't have nurses on staff yet before 9 a.m. So it's like in middle of the morning – just totally screws up both Cindy and me for work. So we're always like figuring out who the heck's going to take him this, tomorrow, that kind of thing. So we're kind of excited for school. School serves multiple jobs in our lives.
Exactly. I'm just ready for a little bit of free time. Haven't had that in a while.
I can understand that. Yeah. Anything else, Kim?
No, that's pretty much about it. We haven't seen any rain yet, so it's starting to like fall around here because the dead leaves are falling off the trees. So you would think it was October the way it looks, but no, we're still in August. So,
August has flown by though. I have to say
it really is.
Yeah. Things to look forward to, by the way, which it just dawned on me as I'm looking at the date up on the screen, Gamescom. Starts up.
Yeah, this week. The 21st. 2 days. Tuesday.
So segue into that conversation real fast, I expect pretty much nothing to come out of Gamescom. It's kind of sad because at one point you think about it, that show used to be like on the rise as importance. They were, Sony, Microsoft, even Nintendo, they were holding press conferences where they were actually doing the kind of the E3 gig at Gamescom. And then they all kind of stopped.
Well, Sony Nintendo, stopped even going, didn't they?
I think they still have a booth, but they don't do any kind of press event. Nintendo, I don't think, does any kind of Nintendo Direct either. Microsoft stopped doing their press event, but they do their Inside Xbox thing. But again, I'm thinking maybe we get some hardware. Maybe an Elite 2 controller gets announced.
Yeah.
Maybe a studio buy. There was rumors that Obsidian was on the purchase block, but I just don't expect much else. And so then it's like, well, on the PC side, I think we'll maybe see some PC games getting some kind of announcements. But I just, there's no big company that's out on stage. It's just weird.
There was no major hype this year for Gamescom. Not what I've seen, anyway.
one, and I think that goes step in step with you know, the lack of support from the big publishers in terms of doing press events.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be there, they're going to be showing off games, but nobody's saying, hey, you know, tune in at this time, we're going to talk about the future of our company and what we're doing. Yeah. It's, you know, the best we've got is Microsoft saying, hey, we're going to have our Inside Xbox show, and we're going to, you know, we'll make some announcements on that show. But it doesn't have that same gravity that, you know, E3 has.
And and talking of E3, I've heard Major Nelson mention on his podcast a lot of times the amount of work what goes into E3 alone. They start prepping for that in November, December, and it's not well June. So to do more than one show a year must take up a lot of time and resources. So, yeah, it's probably another reason why we only do one massive presser a year.
So, well, and if you also think about it, I mean, you know, E3 happens in June. And then you've got basically about 2 months, give or take a week or two, depending upon when Gamescom hits. But Gamescom almost always is in August. You know, we know E3 is in June. So you've got about 2 months in between, and not a whole heck of a lot really changes or happens. So either you're holding back announcements to try and give something relevant for Gamescom, or you just blow your wad at E3 and you say, Gamescom is just going to kind of, you know, no longer be a show about announcements, which that's kind of what's becoming. Yeah. And Sony even, you know, I think they've opted away from Gamescom because of that proximity. They're now using Paris Games Week as their new kind of platform for kind of a holiday time.
December time, isn't it? Yeah.
I want to say Paris Week is in October.
All right, the PSX was in December, I think. Yeah.
And they do their PSX show, but I think these companies are just realizing that there's just no need to try and kind of replicate what they're doing at E3, what they're doing on their own. So anyway, that's a really long routed story of saying Gamescom just isn't what it used to be. And also indeed. Gamescom starts this week. Mm. Still kind of excited for. Mark.
I say this every week now. Another crazy busy week at work. It's just, I don't know what it is this year. I don't know if it's been the heat or what. It's sent people crazy in the vehicles, breaking down all the time. But usually in the summer months in my job, it's usually a lull before the sort of like busy season comes up. In winter, where all the faults, where the bad weather picks up, all the faults out. But yeah, this summer's been crazy busy. I've never known it like it. So I've been working over again this week, doing an hour each night. Which, for someone I haven't worked overtime for 6 years, it's toll on you because it knocks it out of you. That extra hour makes a difference, especially with a physically demanding job at my age. So yeah. So, yeah, I've been getting home from work, flaking out, a little bit of gaming, but not much. I have started a new TV binge, because I've been wanting to get into another TV series, and I was a massive fan of Breaking Bad. Bad's probably one of my all-time favourite TV series ever. I've started watching Better Call Saul, which is like a prequel. Gives a backstory of Saul Goodman, and also more interestingly, it's got Mike's backstory. Mike was the sort of like the hitman type guy in Breaking Bad,
right?
And his backstory I'm finding just as interesting, if not more than Saul. It's funny because I've just started season 3, and not once, well, one episode references Saul Goodman, but he uses his original name in this, which is James McGill. So yeah,
okay.
We haven't even got to the Saul Goodman bit yet, so it's and I'm in season 3. So yeah, it's very interesting what he's going through and what he's been through to get to where he is in Breaking Bad. So yeah, it's good. I highly recommend it.
All right,
well, that's about it for me. Boring.
No, that's okay. It's been a relatively quiet week for me. Work has been just kind of trudging along. We launched out some new products for work, software solution. Anyway, so that has made work busy with meetings. but not a whole lot of productivity, for lack of a better way to put it, coming from those meetings. So it's just out there doing a lot of talking. In terms of entertainment, we watched a movie, gosh, I think it was last weekend. It was a movie called I Can Only Imagine. Really good movie around well, Dennis Quaid is one of the actors in it. He does a tremendous job of playing a father figure within the movie. I don't really want to give too much away about the movie. It's based on a true story, though. It basically is a story of this this young man who he was kind of struggling with an abusive family situation from his youth. It kind of follows him along and into his singing career, which he became kind of I don't say gospel singer, but like a Christian rock singer, still struggling with a lot of kind of what happened with his life. But he ended up creating a song that became a platinum, kind of one of those major hit, you know, things that, and he wrote it in like 10 minutes. And it was a song that, I guess Amy Grant, I don't know if you're familiar with Amy Grant. She's a very popular Christian rock singer that she was going to take the song and I guess ended up giving back the song and all the credits to him. And it kind of made his career in this just kind of one big move. But and the movie itself, though, tremendous. The main actor did a really good job, but Dennis Quaid in particular was just so believable in his role. And it's not a fun role. I mean, you really kind of hate Dennis Quaid most of the movie. And I love Dennis Quaid as an actor. So I mean, yeah. it was really just enjoyable to watch him. And I'd never heard of the movie. So, if you're bored one night and you want something that's going to be pretty inspirational and it's going to tug at the heartstrings, I Can Only Imagine. All right. Well, that is it for story time. Let's talk about some games.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
All right. Games. Let's talk about some games. First and foremost, let's get some of the stuff out of the way. You know, we've got our games with benefits and section. For Honor, Mafia 3, SteamWorld Dig. Those were the three games we had selected to kind of chime in and talk about in terms of they're all on offer from different services. So For Honor is on offer from Xbox One. PS4 has Mafia 3. And on PC, it's SteamWorld Dig. I have not had a chance to play any For Honor. Has anybody here had a chance to?
Not lately, no.
Briefly today, I did the tutorial.
Right. Okay.
God, that is a lot to take in for the combat.
Yeah, I remember playing the beta. That's how far back I played For Honor. Yeah,
you've got to have your stance correct to block. You have to match their stance. And then to get a hit on them, you have to have a different stance to them, which they can still change up last minute and block as well. I found it quite intimidating, really. At first, it makes you think, it's as easy as this, I can do this. Lets you get some easy hits in. But then, as it progresses, they start fighting back, and that's when it gets tough.
Right.
So I remember throwing the stamina part into it, and that's what killed me. When every move you make affects your stamina.
You can't just mash the Xbox button, or the fast attacks or the heavy attacks. And as I recall, enemies will attack you from multiple directions.
Yeah.
So you have to be, you know, it's a lot of parry. In some respects, a little Dark Souls.
Yeah.
In terms of the combat.
Yeah, they've added a dash into it, so when they dash, you have to dodge, and then you can get a cheap hit in that way. But if you don't dodge in time, they take a lot of damage off you.
Yeah. Right, and apologies, by the way, for saying Dark Souls-ish, because I know that's become like the in thing or the thing that everybody says these days is, the game's like Dark Souls. Every game cannot be like Dark Souls. I get that. I understand that. This is one fighting game, though, that and it really is a fighting game more than anything.
I think what you're trying to get is the combat is taking inspiration from Dark Souls.
Yes. I would say the combat has, outside of that, nothing else in this game reminds me of Dark Souls. So let's just get that out of the way.
And we've lost Kim's camera.
And we've lost Kim's camera. Uh-oh. well, at least hopefully we haven't lost Kim. Maybe we have. Yeah, I think we might have lost Kim as well. well, we will trudge on without Kim for the moment. Hopefully we get her back in. You know, I probably was all the excitement of Tony going back to school. She got super excited. She hit the wrong button. Who knows? she'll pop back in. There she is.
Skype hates me. I tell you, it just died.
We just figured you got overly excited still about Tony going back to school.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, it does. It does. Before we talk about Mafia 3, SteamWorld Dig. This is another game that I have not had a chance to play myself, but I've heard a lot of good things about SteamWorld Dig. Mm. I think Robin played SteamWorld Dig through to conclusion, if I recall correctly, and he really enjoyed it. But anybody else have any familiarity with SteamWorld Dig?
I played it on PS4 quite a while ago. I think it was a couple of quid on a sale once. It looked quite interesting. Yeah, I quite like it. It's really good. I know there's a second one out now as well, which I'm tempted to look into. But yeah, it's a very good game. A lot of sort of like depth to it as well. It looks quite basic on the surface, but once you start unlocking different abilities and getting different attachments and weapons and stuff, you go back to revisit areas you've already been to, you can get even further. So yeah, it's really good.
All right. Okay. And real quickly, by the way, for those that are watching the podcast live, every once in a while we flash to different screens, and you will notice under the MIA screen, every once in a while it'll flash up and it'll have Phil Thee's name up there. Phil was supposed to be on the show, but he decided he wanted to go on vacation and hang out with his wife instead. Same thing with Gary DeFelice. He decided he wanted to go have a beach day with his wife. And then Robin decided a full-on vacation was in order, so he's actually been sending us pictures of himself naked, which we've been debating on putting up onto the show, but we don't want to get stricken with some stuff from Twitch, because you're not allowed to show nudity on Twitch, so we're going to stay away from that, and probably for the best of everybody, if you ask me. Mm. Last game, Mafia 3. Mark, I know you finished Mafia 3 this past week.
Yeah.
I am in the throes of trying to finish up Mafia 3 myself. So we can talk about this, because we're going to talk about this in the games that we have been playing anyway. Yeah, so yeah, we might as well talk about it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what were the overall impressions of Mafia 3? And Kim, I apologize. Have you played Mafia 3?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
No.
All right.
So last week I said that I got to the tedious bit. A bit repetitive, which it did to an extent, but for me the ending redeemed itself. I thought it was a great ending. I really enjoyed the ending, and there's multiple endings which I didn't know, so I've watched the other endings on YouTube. Very interesting.
I'm curious now, because I did not know this about Mafia 3. Did the endings feel very different? Or is it subtle, differences?
They're very different, there's a lot of difference, right.
And by the way, this game, if you haven't played Mafia 3, it's GTA Lite. That's what I always call the Mafia series, because it's an open world setting where you have multiple missions and side missions you can go on, but it's not as big a game as GTA. So you're not going to have the same number of side missions to take on. There's not a bunch of little side activities that you can go off and play. However, I think it really does rival GTA from a story standpoint, in that they do put together really well-crafted stories, and they're voice acted and they are directed very well. So if you want something that is not as big a game as GTA, I would highly recommend checking out the Mafia series.
It's still a big game, though. I think I've got well over 20 odd hours into it to finish it. And I didn't really do any side missions. But there's a lot of good positive points about the game. Like you said, the voice acting's really, really good. The soundtrack is awesome.
The soundtrack is as good as any GTA, if you ask me.
Yeah, it's really good. And I don't really normally listen to like 60s stuff, 50s, 60s stuff, but yeah, I really got into the soundtrack on this. So much so, I found a Spotify playlist what someone has made, of all the records in it. So I've sort of like saved that now, so listen to that in the car now and again. Yeah, I like the way they do the flashback interview. So there's one on screen now with the preacher, Father James. In the game, he's obviously younger, and he's got some relation with Lincoln Clay, who's the main character. But yeah, later on they're interviewing him. There's another character called Donovan, who's a CIA guy who you've worked with in the past in Vietnam, and you work very closely to bringing all the mafia bosses down. I really like this guy. He's such a great character. And I didn't know this as well. This was an extra little bit. And I won't give any spoilers or anything, but in the credits, which you can't skip, which I think is one of the reasons why you can't skip it, there's an extra, like Marvel do with their end scenes, there's an extra scene with Donovan in it, and it is so good. It's so worth watching.
All right.
So, yeah, watch out for that when you finish the game. Well, yeah,
I will do so.
Graphically, it's decent enough. There's no problems graphically. Gameplay's all right. The shooting's pretty good. The only thing I don't like about it, which I've mentioned last week, you take damage so easily. And you've got like small mini health bars added to you. You start off with two, and you can build up to like four or five. But once that mini health bar is depleted and it goes on to the next health bar, that won't recover by itself. It won't regenerate. You have to use a health pack.
Right.
So if you accidentally stumble into an area where there's five or six enemies, which happens a lot, and they're all shooting at you, as soon as you use a health syringe, by the time that health syringe is animated and done, you've lost all that health again within seconds, and you're using it again, and you use your health pack so quickly. So that was a bit frustrating for me. I failed a lot of missions because of that, and I got a bit angry now.
Right.
But that was the only downside, really, for me. And some of the missions were a bit repetitive, similar. But all in all, a great game.
Yeah, I would say that the repetitive missions is the one big knock I would give the game, and that is just that because they don't do a lot of, you know, kind of different types of side activities, so you can't do the, you know, GTA, you would have things like, you know, you could go, you know, bowling or playing darts or something like that, and, you know. And sometimes they might incorporate that into a mission, but here it's, you know, you have a few side missions that are still kind of story related to taking over the territories. But I also think I like the fact that it was a little more straightforward.
Yeah.
But as you noted, it was pretty much go and kill, you know, kill the underling bosses or go destroy.
It was basically stopping their rackets. So, either destroy the alcohol or destroy the drugs or the informants, whatever. Sarah's come up with a good question, which is, are you able to carry more health packs as the game goes on? You can. A lot of them are unlocked by when you complete different districts by doing the rackets in that area, whether it be gambling or drugs or alcohol. What you can do is, you assign that district to one of the three sort of like crime bosses what are under your employ. You've got a Haitian woman called Cassandra. You've got an Irish guy called Robin. No, he's not called Robin. I can't remember his name, actually. Burke. He's called Burke. And then you've got
right.
the typical American Italian gangster called Scolari, I think. I can't remember. I think I might have made that up. But anyway, so you assign these crime bosses the districts because you're in charge, and depending on who you give the area to, they'll give you a perk. So Burke will mainly be primarily vehicle based, so he'll give you a perk where you can rob a car without attracting attention and witnesses calling the police. Donovan is more weapons based, so he can give you extra ammo. Cassandra, she does general stuff, like she'll give you more health and health packs. So you can unlock them like that. You can also unlock them through your arms dealer by paying for them. So yeah.
Right, I was going to say, so there's also things that are like the arms dealer.
Yeah.
There's a vehicle service as well. So, I mean, it's almost like calling an Uber.
One thing I didn't use initially, which I started to use more on as I got in the game because we got more and more enemies, a lot of enemies when you have to do some of the missions is you can call in one of the Irish gangs and they'll come in and help you.
Right.
Like a riot squad type thing. And that is really helpful.
Yeah, no. So basically you can call in backup.
Yeah.
My favorite thing though is calling in the arms dealer because in my game, and I don't know if he shows up in a different vehicle, but he has one. It's basically like I call it the child kidnapper van. yeah. It's like got no side windows, and it pulls up, and he just flies up in this van. Doesn't matter who's in front of him or where he's at.
He stops in the middle of the road, doesn't he? Back door's
just
open
stops
on the
in the
road.
Middle of the road. Yeah, yeah.
It's back a little, door's open, little orange go. Van. Yeah.
So you can always get more ammo. But I found myself pretty much there were two guns that I use. Well, I've been using predominantly one. Is a silenced pistol,
yep,
which I found that, that was the go-to weapon. Yeah. And then I would use a Tommy gun as my backup weapon.
Yeah, I used that initially, and then as the game progressed, I unlocked, I gave one of the districts to that Italian guy, I can't remember his name.
I'll call him Vinny.
And he unlocked me a really nice automatic rifle. Can't remember what it was called. It was similar to an AR-15 type thing. It looked like the silhouette of it looked like an M16, but they didn't call it that. And that was really good. It had high rate of fire. It was very little recoil, very accurate, and it took enemies down really quickly. So I'd go in with the silenced pistol, pop a few heads. If you get a headshot instantly, they go down, and no one knows you're there. But as soon as I got spotted, that's when the big gun will come out, and I'll just start mowing them down. So
And Sarah was just asking if I was playing on the Xbox or PC, or PS4. On the Xbox, this is a game that got a nice upgrade on the Xbox One X.
Yeah.
So it got a 4K upgrade with the HDR lighting. The game looks fantastic. So you know, again, if you like a GTA-like experience but don't want the full GTA experience. Maybe that's sounding a little redundant, or I'm saying experience too many times, but it's just a lighter version. It's more compact, but you still get a really good story. So if you like that single player kind of gangster story, this is a really good game. So I highly recommend.
It's got a great intro. The setup to the whole story I thought was really, really good, very emotional and impactful. And like I say, the ending's just brilliant. I really enjoyed the ending. So that, to me, weighed out the tediousness of the mid-game part of it. So overall, I really, really enjoyed it. And obviously for PS4 players, if you've got PS Plus, it's free at the moment. So there's no excuse not to play it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's move on from games with benefits. Real quickly, let's talk about monthly freebies. And it's an important conversation to have real quick because it's going to be a foreshadowing for one of our news stories. But Kim, if you would be so kind, maybe just run through real fast the freebies from the different services that are available.
Okay, let me scroll back up there.
Stop surfing the porn.
Sorry, I won't have it again.
Yeah, probably. We know Thor porn is something that
Thor in a thong. .com.
Yeah. All right. Our games with gold this month are, we've already had, I think it's still out, is Forza Horizon 2 Standard 10th Anniversary Edition. It's still available for Honor, the Standard Edition, just became available, and I pop up on my screen. Get back from there. You missed out on Dead Space 3, but it's also an EA Access, so if you have that, you didn't miss it. Disney Epic Mickey 2 The Power of 2 is now available. And for our PS Plus people, we have Mafia 3 and Dead by Daylight for the PS4. PS3, we have... Indeed. PS3, we have Bound by Flame and Serious Sam 3 BFE. And for the Vita, we have Draw Slasher and Space Hulk. And for our Twitch games for this month, we have Jotun, Valhalla Edition, Death Squared, Anti-Hero, Wizardry 6th, 7th, and 8th, Steam World Dig as well. And those are our freebies.
All right. So get on it. And if you are so inclined to want to play Forza Horizon 2, I would definitely recommend picking that up now because your options for playing that game might be more limited. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's round out what else we played. Well, Mark, since we talked about Mafia 3, why don't we talk about the rest of the games that you played?
Yep.
One on here makes sense. One on here is something I wouldn't expect you to play.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously, yeah, I mentioned it earlier, For Honor, but I've only played the intro training bit. And then it sort of like scared me a little bit, and I quit out before I got into the main story. But obviously, I didn't have time to set the computer for the podcast. But yeah, one game I have started this week, I fancied something different. I wanted something that was not too long, because I've just played a long game, Mafia 3. So I started up, and I think this was free on Games with Gold a while ago. It's an old game from the 360 which has been remastered. It's called DMC. It's the reboot, remake of Devil May Cry. It's the definitive edition, and it's the one made by Ninja Theory, which is now owned by Microsoft. Now, I've played Devil May Cry 4. That's the only DMC game I've played in the past, and I quite enjoyed that. This is slightly different to that, but I'm really enjoying it. You play as Dante, but he's not the Dante what everyone knows and loves with the white hair. In fact, there's a bit of a funny cutscene at the beginning where a white wig falls on his head and he looks in the mirror and goes, nah, and sort of like takes it off and carries on because he's got short dark hair.
Is this the DMC game where the intro, they have kind of the... There's an intro-like montage where Dante's coming out and he's naked. And as he jumps up into the camera view, it's like as he's jumping, and right about when you're supposed to see his private parts, a slice of pizza crosses the screen in perfect timing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I remember this game.
Yeah, it's a great opening sequence. But yeah, that does happen, yeah. And to say it's originally a 360 PS3 game, I know they've done a bit of remastered magic on it. It looks quite good. You can tell it's an older game, but it does look really good. The premise is your typical Capcom Japanese craziness, demons and angels and all that shit. But basically, Dante is a Nephilim, so he's... Mother was an angel and his father was a demon, so you've got these powers, and I've unlocked some extra weapons now as I'm progressing through the game. I'm on mission 8, and there's 20 missions altogether, so you've got one weapon what's like demon powered, you got a weapon what's angel powered, and then you've got your traditional sword, rebellion sword, and your guns. You can...
Real quickly, Mark. Pablo Plays is asking in the chat.
Yeah.
How hard are the Devil May Cry games?
Right. Play? Good question. Now the original DMCs. I don't know actually which developer made the original ones. I know it was definitely Capcom who published them as well. They were tough. DMC 4 I found quite tough, but I've played it on easy. But I've played this on easy. I don't take any shame now in playing games on easy. I don't have the reactions anymore, so most games I played out straight on easy. Because I want to enjoy them, I don't want to get frustrated. But this isn't too bad on easy. I think I've only died once.
If I was going to compare the combat of Devil May Cry, I mean, you know, the other game that I would compare it up to that seems... Bayonetta. It always kind of reminded me of a Bayonetta, kind of action-y platform game.
It's very it's very hack and slasher. Yeah, hack and slash with a bit of shooting.
You can get away with mashing a little bit. And mashing,
absolutely. Yeah.
But you know, I mean, that's shooting. It's using your sword, so it'll be forgiving, especially early on.
Yeah.
As you get into the game further, it's going to start requiring you to kind of utilize some of the combo systems that are built into the game. But by that time, typically speaking, you're kind of learning them. So, I would say it's average difficulty. I'm not going to say, especially the Ninja Theory one.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was exceptionally difficult.
Have you played this one? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a bit of platforming type stuff in it as well, where you will see red circles and blue circles. The reds for the demon side of it, and the blues for the angel. So you can use like a grapple for the blue ones and it'll grapple you up, and you can sort of like angel boost and shoot across. Or the red ones for the demon grapple, they will pull something towards you, like a platform or a crate. It'll pull it towards you, or pull the platform you're stood on towards the object. So that's how you can maneuver around the sort of like different environments, because most of the combat you are in what's called limbo. So you're in like the demon world, but it has repercussions in the real world. The main demon guy who you're trying to sort of like take down, he's holding the world to ransom, and you're trying to take the whole corporation and that guy down. So it's a simple premise, but it's quite enjoyable. It's a lot of fun.
It's a simple premise. Actually, it's just take the bad guy down. It's a complicated plot, but I mean, it's straightforward enough, I guess, as is.
Well, he's trying to take his guy down. So.
Right. Demons taking over the world. Yeah. It's simple. Yeah. All right, Mark, anything else?
No, we're just getting to the pizza bit as well on the stream. I might have to just pad for time.
Talk a little bit longer so we see the pizza bit.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to see a little pepperoni.
Yeah. You won't. It's got the traditional old school method of healing. So you buy health packs and stuff from. They have these divinity statues in the game, and you can also get them in the main menu. And you buy these items to regenerate your health, and to actually use them, though, you have to actually go into the menu. You have to pause the game and use the item, which is really old school. And to buy them, you use a currency called I think the Bloodstones. So when you kill an enemy, it spits out red orbs. You get the odd green orb, which regenerates your health. But yeah, that's how you get the health. You also get upgrades as you're progressing through. There's an upgrade bar for like an XP bar, really, and you can upgrade your weapons, whether it be your Rebellion Sword, your Angel one.
I just love the fact that we're drawing this out so we can see the pizza bit. That's what's going on here, folks. We're just drawing out this conversation long enough to see the pizza bit.
Yeah. You can carry on talking. I can leave it on the screen. But yeah, I'm running out of things to say, really. So yeah, I'm on mission 8. I'm hoping to have it done by end of the week. So.
Okay, right. Here's my question.
Here we go. Flying through the air. As he's flying through the air, he's putting his clothes on. There's a pizza, Kim. Covering his modesty.
Pepperoni pizza for the win.
Here's my question. Never played Devil May Cry. Will I like this game?
Well, that's a good
question.
Knowing
what I play, and you guys know what I play, would I play this game? Because I've been kind of interested in playing this before.
Real quickly, I do need to make a correction. I said pepperoni pizza. Apparently, it's pizza with olives. cheese with olives, not pepperoni.
And there was also a baseball bat. So
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd say you probably would enjoy this. It's not as... I know in the DMC4 I played back on the 360 days, a lot of the combos and everything were really complicated. There were different ones. There's not that many combos in this one, so it's a lot easier to understand. But yeah, it's good fun action hack and slash. I'm sure you'd like it.
All right, I will give it a try then.
There you go. All right, so I guess that means me. Kim, let's talk about Unravel 2. Let's talk Unravel 2. I almost forgot.
See how it is. Yes, of course, there's the... Was
I almost unraveled.
You almost... Anyway, there's the 10-hour demo, and I played the first one and loved it. So I thought, well, we were kind of in between games, I guess you'd say. I don't know. I still have Banner Saga 2 to finish, but I was kind of, I thought, well, what the hell? We'll fire up Unravel, because I think Phil had finished it, I think, recently.
Right.
So I thought I'd give it a shot and see what it is. Tony, of course, little yarny Tony loves it, so... Oh, yeah, it's more of the same. It's a little different because, of course, now you've got the little blue guy. But, I don't know. I played it for a couple hours. I don't know. I can't say I'm going to buy it right away because with Red Dead right around the corner. But, I'll definitely play it. It's really good. If you like the first one, I think you'll definitely enjoy this one for sure.
I've heard people say that they've done a lot of improvements. You're not restricted now where you fasten to a point all the time.
Yep.
In the original game, you're always fastened and your yarn runs out. You don't have that anymore.
And this is and that's what's nice about this one is because you don't have that. Because I had a heck of a time in some of the spots on the first one because, you run out of yarn. And so then you're looking around going, okay, I missed one somewhere or something. So, then you're backtracking to find it.
Yeah.
And you don't have that so much with this one.
And you don't drown as much in this one, apparently.
No, you don't drown because I was worried about that because there's one level, I think it's a well in this one, and I fell in it, and you actually swim.
Right.
Which I don't think in the first one you did.
No, as soon as you hit the water, that's it. You just sunk and it was game over. It was quite frustrating that.
I just want to know, how does a ball of yarn drown?
That was my thought. I'm like, how does that work? But apparently in the last one, you did. So.
Yeah. Right. And by the way, is it me? Or, I know some people think the Yarny characters look really cute, but they look like little demons to me. Every time I see them, I think that.
That was my kind of thought. Especially when the blue one popped up, and of course he's got the three, the two, and I'm like,
The horns and everything.
You can change your color now. I don't know if that's important really to anyone, because I played with it for a little while and thought, okay, he's back to red. Yeah, so, never mind.
Game changer.
There you go. If you want to change your Yarny, there, and you can change both of them, different colors. So if you want to do that's fun too, I guess. Yeah. But Unravel 2. If you like the first one, you'll definitely, I think, like this one.
Yeah, I enjoyed the first one. I think I'd be tempted to wait until it's on EA Access. Personally,
that's my thought. Yeah, because Red Dead 2 coming out, where I'll be on that one. So
Let's face it, games like this, I think, are a perfect example of why EA Access is got some value.
Yeah.
I look at all the sports games. Quite honestly, I don't buy any Maddens or FIFAs anymore. I just wait for the new edition to come out or the next edition to come out on EA Access. And I'm more than happy to play, the year behind, whatever the case may be. Like right now, Madden 19 just came out. I know Gary DeFelice is like, I'm going to get it on PC. I'm like, I'm just going to pay my $30 and play Madden 18, which is a fantastic Madden game.
Yeah.
And, whenever I'm ready, I can play a little bit of the Madden 19. Same thing with NHL. Same thing with, I won't say NBA because nobody plays NBA games. But there's the FIFA, of course.
Yeah.
And then games like this, Yarny and Faye. I mean, those are all...
Yeah, Faye's just gone into the vault. Yeah, I've noticed that.
I'm excited about that one.
Yeah, it looks quite good. I've just downloaded that. And I know Phil mentioned it maybe last week or a week before, and some other people have. With Game Pass now, they're less and less inclined to renew their EA Access. But the way I look at EA Access is, it's only 20 quid a year. Whereas Game Pass is like 8 quid a month or something. 20 quid a year is not a lot for the games you get. And even the 10-hour trials, they're quite handy because it's enough to determine whether you want to buy a game or not, for me. So,
Same here.
Yeah, so I still think it's good value. And with Game Pass as well, I've got a feeling EA are going to have to step the game up a little bit to put more games like this rather than just sports games in the vault. So I know the Sims 4's in there at the moment, which is a fairly new game and it's a big game, so... They are trying in some respects.
Oh, for sure.
No, they absolutely are.
Yeah.
Anyway, we totally got sidetracked there. Apologies to everybody. Unravel 2, Kim. So you definitely enjoy it.
Yep.
But probably wait and see for a sale. Is that what I got?
Yeah. I'm gonna either wait for a sale or wait for it to come into Access. Because like I said, Red Dead's right around the corner. Y'all know where I'm gonna be. So. No time for Yarny when, Red Dead shows up. Sorry.
No, absolutely. Absolutely not. All right. Well, I guess that means me. So we already talked about Mafia 3. PUBG on the Xbox. I continue to play the crap out of this game.
I've not played this in a while. There's been an update, hasn't there? You're on the test server again?
Yes. They did the test server. So the big update on the test server, there were two real big updates. One, which is more subtle, which was they had a bullet penetration update, which previous to this in PUBG, when you were shooting at somebody, let's say that their forearm was in front of their chest and you shot at them, limb damage, your arms and your legs, when you get hit by a bullet, they give less damage. So, you know, so just for sake of simplicity, if you get hit in the chest, you take a full point of damage. If you got hit in the arm, you would take a half point of damage. And if your character is your arm was in front of your chest and the bullet hit the arm, it would just go into the arm. It wouldn't go all the way through into the body, and so the person would only take a half point of damage. Well, now bullet penetration goes through the arm. So if the body is, you know, you have a major organ, so to speak, behind the arm, now it'll go through the arm into the chest and you'll take full damage. So that was a big update in terms of that. And then the other big update that came out is they put dynamic weather back into the game. Mm-hmm. So now on Miramar and on Engral, basically depending upon the weather pattern, if it's sunny when you land, it's going to remain sunny. It's not going to change. However, if you land and it's overcast, two potential things can happen, and it really depends upon the map. I think on Miramar, if it's overcast, you have a chance of rain. But on Engral, you can not only get rain, but you can also potentially get fog. With the rain, there potentially can be thunder and lightning, and you know, you get the noise factor, and that's the real big component to this. I mean, visually, yes, it's going to limit some of your sight lines, but it also masks movement, and so you won't hear
as well as against you, because you can sneak up.
It can work in your favor.
Well, when it first came out, it had rain, didn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
They took it out, and they've redone the model now, and apparently it's at an acceptable level. So we were playing on the test server. excuse me. Unfortunately, for half the week on the test server, the controls, the alternate B control scheme was screwed up.
This is one of the reasons why I didn't jump on. Yeah.
Yeah. So every time you'd aim down sights, when you would stop aiming down sight, you'd let go of your trigger. It would have some kind of glitch that would happen to where you couldn't move properly, and you would have to hit the LB button to reset the movement, and then suddenly everything would work fine again. But they've since patched that and fixed it, so it's good to go. I would suspect that this is going to hit the main server within maybe a week or two. And quite honestly, I actually expect the PUBG Xbox version to probably go full 1.0 version out of, you know, be released as an official game on Xbox within probably a month. I think that's the time frame for this.
I think the test server will, like you say, it'll go offline like it did last time, and these implements will go into the main game, and then in a couple more weeks the test server will do the Sandhawk map.
Right,
we'll get that, and then I think, like you say, it'll go 1.0, including the Sandhawk map.
And I think for PUBG, it's, you know, from the sales perspective, I think they need this game to get its full release before Battlefield comes out, before Call of Duty comes out, because those games are going to have their own battle royale modes that we know they're going to be very highly polished experiences. So I think for PUBG to even get one last kind of swing at making a dent in growing its player base, it has to happen before those games come out.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
And when you think about its history, it was in beta for a year on PC and released.
It was in beta for 9 months.
March. March went full in December. Yeah. So, unlike some games you can mention. So yeah, it's about the same sort of like time span on the Xbox.
Right.
So yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, so outside of that, just dabbled a little bit in BattleTech. I didn't really get a chance to full on play it, so we don't really need to talk too much about that in depth, but. That's a game that I continue to love. I love my turn-based strategy games. There's hopefully going to be another turn-based strategy game that I'll be talking about next week, but that's a little foreshadowing. Anyway, but yeah, so BattleTech, if you like turn-based games, you like mechs and blowing stuff up, it's a fun game. The last game I want to talk about real quickly was State of Decay 2. Jumped back in. Played a little bit more State of Decay 2. That's just a really good game. They've done some nice optimizations to State of Decay 2. And I know, Mark, I went through BattleTech real fast.
No, that's okay.
But yeah, State of Decay 2. I love just the you know, going through the open world and scavenging around for stuff. I do get a little annoyed with having to deal with other members in my community. But on the flip side, that's kind of a good thing. And I say that in that I get annoyed that I have to manage these people and deal with them, but that's kind of what would be happening in an apocalyptic situation where you're trying to survive and you've got different personalities coming in. You're not going to get along with everybody. You're going to get annoyed that you have to deal with somebody who's always picking fights with everybody. And so, it feels very Walking Dead to me, on a sim like level. And I love that. I love that about that game. And so I've just been really enjoying it. Was in a panic mode because I took one of my vehicles out, and I was running low on gas. I mean, I had maybe an eighth of a tank left, and I was pretty far out from the base. Yeah. So I started getting into a panic mode of where am I going to find gas? And I just decided to Thelma and Louise it a little bit and just go till I couldn't go. And I actually found a gas station, thankfully. So I was able to scavenge some fuel and basically, you know, kind of make it back to my base in time.
It's frustrating, yeah. Running out of gas, because we go through it really quick, don't we? And I remember once having one where I think it had 6 inventory slots in the boot, or you call it the trunk, and it was all full of gear, full of essential gear I needed. The orange rucksacks with the main, like, resources, food and medicine and stuff. And running out of gas miles away from your base, you have to make your way back or find another vehicle. And in the sort of like local proximity to your base, once you've used stuff in that area, like vehicles, they don't respawn.
You're not gonna get anymore. That's the challenge.
Yeah, I need to get back into this. I've really enjoyed this.
Yeah, it's a really good game.
So it's had any updates recently? I was like, has it improved anything?
Well, I know they ran through a number of updates, and I'm trying to think of from the last time that we played it to now. I mean, a lot of just bug and glitch fixing, and that's really been the primary thing that's been happening with the game. So it just is running more efficiently now.
The biggest thing that helped me was vehicles will get stuck on a blade of grass or a tiny rock. It was so easy to beach a vehicle.
Now there's a funny story. So speaking of beaching vehicles, I have two basically expedition type army vehicles that I've got in my base. One of which you helped me find, Mark. By the way, I still have that one. Yeah. So I took one vehicle out, and there were some zombies and a screamer that was near my base, and nobody likes a screamer, for the record. I was killing these zombies with the vehicle, and I hit one, and then the truck rammed up onto a rock, and it totally got stuck. And the best part was, from a physics standpoint, I could tell right away the truck is effed. Yeah. And I'm like, this is not getting off this rock. So I was trying to figure out how I could save this truck. And what I ended up doing was I went back to the base, grabbed the other truck, and then came and rammed my truck off the rock, proceeded to get the other truck stuck on the rock again. So I had to get out of that vehicle, get in the other vehicle, and then ram the other truck back off the rocks. Eventually, I was able to get them all off the rocks. But it was kind of a fun, you know, experience of, yeah, this is probably, you know, what you'd call like a physics glitch within the game. But I love that I had this kind of out of the box thinking ability to fix the situation.
Yeah.
Like the game didn't prevent me from doing something that kind of made sense.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't something that they would tell you to do in the game. So.
Yeah. Have you taken down any Plague Hearts yet?
One.
Yeah.
I took down one Plague Hearts. It was kind of intense. I mean, kind of becomes like a wave situation of fighting wave after wave after wave, trying to kill the Plague Heart. I just made my first silencer for one of my rifles, so that's been kind of exciting.
Yeah.
But I also know limited ammo, things break. So I'm still not using it that much. I'm still, skulking around, taking out as many zombies as I can quietly.
Well, once you've unlocked that, the crafting ability to make a silencer, they're not too difficult to craft, and they're quite plentiful, the silencers. The pipe bombs, once you get that crafting ability, they're really handy, especially when you're doing the plague arts. A few of them pipe bombs thrown at the plague art will take it down. Otherwise, they take a lot of melee or gunshots. So, little tip for
okay. Yeah, hot tip. There you go. All right. Well, that is it for the games we played this past week. So, we have a quiz.
Ooh. Wanna find it?
You'll find it.
So, who said it best?
It's like she's here.
It's like she's here. All right. So, Nicole, our new quiz master of Who Said It Best, she has come up with a Who Said It Best Gears edition. However, there is a slight twist to this.
Oh, no.
In that these are conversations. Ooh. That have happened within the Gears of War games. And so what you have to do is I will read off the conversation. I will not be telling you who is saying what. I'm just going to be reading off the conversation as it happens. And then you're going to be given some multiple choices of the characters and the order, potentially, of who is saying it. So that being said, you two are our current quote-unquote leaders within the quiz. Mark, you were sitting at a whopping 8 points.
Yep.
And Kim is right on your crack. I mean...
oh, not the crack again. We had enough of a crack.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, Kim is sitting in second place with 7 points. So, I mean, any which way this could go. We were having a little bit of fun with you, Mark, earlier. I was going to tell you had to administer the quiz this week just to piss you off. But no. We're going to let you two battle it out.
Oh, boy.
Here we go. Are you two ready? Who said it best? Mm-hmm. Gears of War conversation edition. So here's the first conversation. Looks like you need a code. You got a code? Yeah, in my other pants. I'll try that again. So it's, looks like you need a code. You got one? Yeah, in my other pants. Who said it best? Was it A, Marcus and Baird? B, Baird and Dom? Or C, Dom and Marcus? Who said it best? I need your answers in 3, 2, 1. And a cough. All right. So we have Aunt Tim, also known as Kim. She said it was Marcus and Baird. And then we have Marky Doo 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 Doo, which I will never say again.
Said A was Marcus and Baird.
A is Marcus and Baird, but you said Baird and Dom. Mark. Yeah.
Marcus and Baird. No,
never mind. I flip-flopped you.
It sounds like he's asking the mechanic, which is Baird, for the code.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way I looked at it.
Right. And the way you looked at it and the way Kim looked at it, it really didn't matter if I mixed up your answers either or because you were both wrong.
Wrong. Yes,
it is C. Yeah. It's Dom and Marcus.
I awarded your points.
Sorry. Damn.
Yes.
All right.
We'll try and do better with this one because the one after this the doozy. That's the
I love you, Nicole. Really, I do.
All right. Who said it best? That smells nasty. What are these guys made of? Shit? Quote is, that smells nasty. What are these guys made of? Shit?
Could have been any of them.
Is it A, Dom, B, Baird, or C, Marcus? Who said it best? A, Dom, B, Baird, C, Marcus. And I agree.
It could have been any of them. I'm just going to guess.
Right?
All right. Answers in 3, 2, 1.
Ooh.
All right. The good news is you both have answered B.
Yeah.
The bad news is we're both wrong.
You're both wrong. It is C, Marcus.
Yeah. I thought that'd be too obvious.
Kim, this is your last chance to potentially tie Mark. Uh-huh. And Mark, this is your last chance to extend your lead beyond 1 point. Here we go. Who said this conversation best? Tell me the order of the speakers. So, in other words, tell me the order in which this conversation happens. This is by far the most complicated and crappiest question Nicole has ever asked anybody.
And she's supposed to have a migraine as well.
Yeah. It would almost be best if I had the audio clip of this, to be perfectly honest, just even to be a little bit fair to you guys. Here we go. This is the conversation. You need to tell me the order of which this conversation took place.
God.
Corpser! It's pulling back. Yeah, it's going to wait. Save us for later. Like a snack. Bullshit. You think I'm kidding? I think you're batshit crazy. That's what I think. Ah, I ain't that cute. Like two assholes on their first date. Who said that conversation in what order? Don't ask me to repeat that.
We have to put each line in order. No,
I'm just going to give you the order in which the participants took place. Was it A, Marcus, Baird, Cole, and Dom? Was it B, Baird, Marcus, Cole, and Dom? Or C, Baird, Marcus, Dom, and Cole? I'll re-say the conversation for you just to try and put it in context. Yeah, here we go. Corpser! It's pulling back. Yeah, it's going to wait. Save us for later. Like a snack. Bullshit. You think I'm kidding? I think you're batshit crazy. That's what I think. Aw, ain't that cute. Like two assholes on the first date. Was it Marcus, Baird, Cole, Dom? Baird, Marcus, Cole, Dom? Or Baird, Marcus, Dom, Cole? And basically, this is Nicole sitting and listening to this with a giant middle finger to both of them.
I'm sure she's cackling her, her ass.
Oh, yeah.
Right now. Okay.
So I need your ordering answers in 3, 2, 1. Excuse me. Kim has responded with B. Mark has responded with C, and that C stands for something that I will not repeat. We also have Jeff Stab, who's most appropriately said D.
Yeah, it probably is D.
And D absolutely should be the right answer. The good news, somebody got it right.
Oh, God.
The bad news is that the person that got it right is not Mark.
Yay!
Well done, Kim.
Kim pulls in. She got me up. No.
It was, in fact, Baird, Marcus, Cole, and Dom. Now, there's a bonus point here.
Oh, no.
God damn it.
Bonus point. I will give this to either one of you, in fairness, because this quiz has just been ass hard. That conversation, which Gears of War did that take place in? Which Gears of War did that take place in? Was it Gears of War 1, Gears of War 2, or Gears of War 3? Oh. Which Gears of War did that take place in? I need your answers.
Oh, hang on, let me think about it. Corpses, were they?
I don't want to let you think at all.
Yeah, right. No, go on then. Go on.
All right. You ready?
No.
Do 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 do.
No, no, no. No, no, Greg. No, Greg.
I know.
Do 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 do.
Because I don't listen to that nonsense. La 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 la.
No! Baby shark. Do 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 do. Baby shark.
Right, sorry, go on.
Asshole! Here we go. Give me your answers in... there's no C, by the way, Kim.
Well,
it's either
Gears
of War 1, 2, or 3. Here we go. I need your answers in 3, 2, 1.
Oops, shit.
Hashtag.
Hashtag not an answer. All right. So, let's see here. Kim has said Gears of War 3.
Wait, plot, so.
Marky Dodo Doodoo has said Gears of War 2. And as it stands right now, the leaderboard for the quiz remains the same.
Oh.
Yay.
Kim and Mark both tied. It was Gears of War 1. The original Gears of War.
There you go. Right.
I'll be damned.
Yes. Remember, the Corpser did appear in Gears of War 1.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
Yeah, but it was like for a brief nanosecond, and yeah.
I didn't play 1, so.
You what?
You didn't play 1. That was like one of the best 1.
I didn't play 1, and I haven't played 2.
Have you, 3 was what didn't got you get started. The Definitive Edition 1, neither?
Yes, I know. I've got them.
Oh, you've got played. It, but not play. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I dived right into 3, and that's what everybody played, and that's what I started on. So.
Well.
And it's my favorite.
Okay. All right. Well, I am updating the official scoreboard for Nicole now. Kim, right. Kim's crack is now sitting at 8. Mark is at 8. Greg, I can't believe this is butter, is sitting at 3. That's really got to be lies. Robin, the Irish tit, at 4. Phil, Mr. Gadget Man, is at 2. And then everybody else is not on the board. So there we go. All right, let's shift gears. Let's talk some news.
Hang on. There we go.
Slacker. Here is the fucking news.
All right, so news. Mark, I'm actually going to make you talk first because you're the one that uncovered this little tidbit.
Yeah. Valve have accidentally launched its Twitch competitor called Steam.tv. So Valve, which runs the digital game distribution platform Steam, has launched Steam.tv, a video streaming portal that could be a direct competition to Twitch and YouTube and Mixer. Steam.tv was currently showing Dota 2's International, which is a like leaderboard challenge thing where you can win real money. There was no option to watch on any other streaming service, and you had to watch it on Steam.tv. Now, once you were logged in, Steam.tv displays the Steam chat introduced recently and allows users to invite friends to join and view the video feed together, although the site is currently a bit unstable. The company who found this out, CNET, they managed to explore some of the other functionality available and reports that Steam.tv has built-in voice chat on Google Chrome, but this doesn't seem to work on Firefox or Edge. There was an update as well. Steam.tv has been taken offline. And in a statement to CNET, Valve representative said that it was meant to be an internal test and was made publicly accessible by accident. So they didn't mean to go live with it. They are working on updating Steam broadcasting for the main event of the International Dota 2's annual tournament, the company explained. What people saw was a test feed that was inadvertently made public. So, looks like Twitch and Mixer's got some competition coming.
Well, given that Valve themselves have competition coming from potentially Discord, obviously they've had you know, GOG has been a competitor out there. Windows has been trying to also, you know, eke into that that marketplace ecosystem. No doubt Valve feeling that they needed to do something else. Yeah. So instead of doing the most obvious thing out there, Valve has opted for, you know, going technology route of creating their own Twitch, you know, like channel. You know, they've been trying to make their own operating system for quite some time now. Mm-hmm. You know, my point, by the way, the most obvious thing was just make more games.
Yeah.
Valve, get back to making games. That's what we really want to see from you. Okay, maybe the 10 Linux users out there want them to succeed with their OS, but for the most part, I think everybody really wants Half-Life to be finished.
Yeah, I think that Linux thing's died to death, hasn't it?
Let's face it, the Steam box was not the most successful thing in the world.
No.
All right. More news. Forza Horizon 2 is leaving Game Pass on September 30th. This is something we kind of hinted at the beginning of the show when we were talking about games that were part of the Games with Benefits. And this is an interesting one because, you know, Microsoft talked about first-party games being on Game Pass, and they really never talked about anything ever being pulled off of it from a first-party perspective. I wouldn't ever have expected that to happen. So this was a curious one. But I think the reasoning for it kind of makes sense when you stop and think about it, which is they said it's reached its end of life. And I think this is the backwards compatibility stuff kind of rearing up its head a little bit, and Microsoft saying, look, nobody's playing this game. There's no need to host it up on the service anymore. We'll give it away for free. If anybody wants it, they can get it through Xbox Live, but we're going to pull it from Game Pass. I don't know. I'm of two minds on this. I kind of want Game Pass to be an archive library for all their first party stuff. So I don't like seeing something like this coming off. The only other thing I can think of that potentially might be coming to play here, and we've seen this happen with other games where they have licensing stuff happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Forza games in period, you know, music licensing as well as car licensing. And I didn't really think about this until just now, but the car licensing, I'm wondering, is something that's at issue because they do have to get all of these car manufacturers on board. Mm-hmm. There might be some kind of licensing fees that they have to pay out for games.
Yeah, but when we initially do the licensing for the game, they might only have a certain amount of years until they have to renew or stop distributing. So, yeah, it makes you wonder.
All right, next story, PSVR. Everybody has been curious to see how well it's been doing. Well, apparently it's been doing okay. It hit 3 million in sales.
When you compare that to the number of PS4s out there, it's not a lot, is it?
No. But then again, I mean, I talked about this in some forums, and it was kind of two minds. Because, yes, it's not a huge percentage of the user base, for sure. It's a small percentage. And when you compare it up to other peripherals, and I think that's the right comparison. Some people were trying to compare this up to game sales, but that's not. This was a $500 peripheral when it launched.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe something like Kinect is a more appropriate to compare it to. It has not lit the world on fire in terms of its sales, but its sales, the PSVR sales have been steady. It's been roughly around 800,000 or so, you know, a quarter, or I guess it's actually kind of a year now that I think about it. It's been out for, what, 2+ years? Yeah. So 3 million in sales, it's not horrible. It's not record-breaking, but it is better than any of the other VR platforms. That's something to talk about. It is basically kind of leading the charge. You don't hear Oculus, you don't hear Valve. None of them are talking about their VR headsets and sales numbers. So those conversations have all died on the vine, and I think what, you know, this is kind of reflecting that there isn't a lot of momentum right now for VR. VR is a little stagnant, if you ask me. They do need full-on games. I think that is what is going to help propel VR. And maybe some improvement to tech, obviously. For Sony, I think getting rid of the Move controllers and getting something that's much more precise and something that doesn't rely on that stupid-ass camera to track it, that will help a ton. I don't think VR is dead. I think VR has its place. I don't think it's going to die off anytime soon or ever, to be perfectly honest. I think it's just going to evolve. The other interesting things to note, 21.9 million PSVR games and experiences have been sold or shipped, and that extends from the free ones to ones that you had to pay for. The best-selling VR games to date were Elder Scrolls V, Skyrim VR, and then it was followed up by PlayStation VR Worlds, Rec Room, and then the game that, from all I've heard, is the actual best full game, Resident Evil 7 Biohazard. That has been the best VR experience out there. So, let's hope it doesn't go away, because again, I don't like seeing anything die on the vine. Gaming can have many different forms: handheld, VR, traditional, console, PC based. Doesn't matter. More games, the better. Speaking of more games and platforms, we knew Diablo 3 was coming to Nintendo Switch at some point. Mm-hmm. Apparently, it's coming this fall. So that that has been officially announced, and basically you can expect Diablo 3 to come this fall. Most importantly, it's going to have an online and a local offline mode for up to 4 players. And this was kind of some cool stuff, if you ask me. The local multiplayer is flexible, so 4 players can play on one single Switch, or you can link up to 4 systems together and connect them for a local co-op session, and it does not need Wi-Fi in order for that to happen. So you can just connect all your Switches up together in proximity, and you can play on a local scenario. And, of course, then it has online, which will take advantage of the Nintendo Switch online services, and it will also host cloud saves. So you'll be able to kind of pick up and play for wherever. This is the $60 version of the game, mind you, so you're paying full retail price. It includes the Reaper of Souls, includes the Rise of the Necromancer expansion content. Then there's also the Nintendo exclusive stuff that's happening, which is a Ganondorf-themed armor set, a Triforce portrait frame, and other extras from The Legend of Zelda. And then the Diablo 3 Eternal Collection is expected to come out on the Switch. I'm just pulling this article off Joystick. So it's coming out later this year. They didn't give a specific date per se, but we do know fall. So fall. Mm-hmm. There we go. Last news story. And again, slow news week leading up to Gamescom, which again, how much news we get at Gamescom, I don't know. But EA's chief design chief is leaving the company. So Patrick Söderlund, who basically was, he was the one that took charge of DICE in 2000, oversaw the development of the early Battlefield games. He was then very influential in terms of EA acquiring DICE in 2006, and then further helped evolve EA's basically DICE's gaming division within EA, and the Frostbite engine basically kind of laid the groundwork for Frostbite to become the backbone of EA. So he's been a very important figure within EA for ever since he came on board. Most importantly, he's been a guy that we've seen kind of addressing some of the issues. He's kind of been the guy to be the voice of, to the people when they've had problems like the loot crate stuff and loot boxes. He has left, and so he's going to be, I shouldn't say he's left. He's in the process of leaving. There'll be a transition over the next 3 months. And the company obviously is going to be reshuffling some of, his workload to other individuals within the company. And no successor has been announced. I think they plan to just kind of internalize it. It'll be interesting to kind of see what happens from here forward, because he was the guy that, again, kind of was that guy taking the brunt of some of the public anger often thrown towards EA. So who's going to be the person now to step up into that role? Whoever they are, God rest their soul.
Right. Good luck.
Yeah. All right. Let's shift gears into some community questions and feedback. Mark, I'm going to let you lead this segment. I've been talking long enough.
Yeah, I put a quick question up on Facebook, on the OC Podcast Facebook group earlier today. Just basically saying, ask us anything, really, or if there's anything you want to ask us. We got mostly sensible questions, apart from a couple from good old Jim. So first question
mostly
is from,
sensible.
Yeah, Thomas, I don't know how you pronounce his last name. Is it Hassinger or Hassinger? Anyway,
either or, Hassinger.
Yeah. But on a more serious matter, because me and Kim was having a bit of a joke around before that. what upcoming games are you looking forward to? So the big ones for me are obviously Red Dead 2, Forza Horizon 4, and the Tomb Raider game. Oh, and Spider-Man in just over a week's time. So that's four just off the bat, just straight away for me. What about you guys?
Yeah, I mean, that echoes a lot of what I'm looking for. I think I'm actually starting to come around on the new Battlefield game. The more I've seen of it, in fact, there was a new trailer that came out, and they hinted at what their Battle Royale mode is going to be. And it looked like it was using a giant ring of fire that was slowly burning down into a smaller circle. So I'm curious about that. So that would be one for sure that would kind of be on my list of, you know, I want to see more. Mm-hmm. And also the Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I'm kind of excited to see that because I like the fact that they're taking it, from what I understand, into this more kind of mythical, you know, Greek mythology direction. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be getting some of those, you know, Greek mythology monsters at play as opposed to just, you know, more ground, you know, reality based history. So can't wait to see more of that. Mm-hmm. That's me.
Mm-hmm.
Kim?
I got a little bit of a list here. Just a little one. Of course, you know, Red Dead Redemption 2. That's like up here. So, you know, obviously that's the first one. But then we have Divinity Original Sin 2 is going to be out, I think it's later this month. So that one's kind of neat. It's a little top-down RPG one. I like that. And of course, RPG. Of course, Shadow of the Tomb Raider. It's coming out, which means I need to probably finish the second one. The new Spyro, I don't know what to call it, remaster or whatever, the Reignited trilogy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm looking forward to that one. And of course, last but certainly not least, Battlefield 5. So,
Okay. Yeah, I forgot about Assassin's Creed, Greg. That's really interesting to me as well because all of his Assassin's Creed series, and I've heard him say that this is going to be even bigger than Origins. So it's going to be interesting.
Oh, yeah. Sarah, by the way, in the chat, Teflon Jason, he shot out Soul Calibur 6 and the new Smash Ultimate game that has every character ever made, ever. So he's looking forward to those as well as the Assassin's Creed Odyssey game. Sarah, I can't believe I forgot about Tomb Raider, but yes, 100% looking forward to the new Tomb Raider. So well done on that.
Yeah,
well, Division 2? Yeah?
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, bite your tongue, Kim.
I didn't get in with the first one, so I'm not really looking forward to the second one, sorry.
Yeah, I only sort of like added the ones what are coming out this year, so next year's even bigger list.
There's a lot coming out
in spring. So yeah. The next question is from Jim Martin. And he said, if you put a dog and a monkey through a teleporter in the movie The Fly, what would come out the other end? He's put, let's start with a donkey or a munkog. I think you just get a complete mess coming out the other end, which will come out and just murder everybody.
Probably, yes. Kill us all.
Yeah. Oh, but you know, my thought was you'd get the pile of crap. Because they were experimenting it for the longest time, and they kept like killing everything that would come through.
It was just like a
bunch blob. Of
globs. Yeah.
So you'll get a pile of dung. That's what you will get.
Jason Johnson gave us a really good question. Who's your favorite RPG character, single, Kim, and why?
RPG character and why?
Not fair.
Straight out of my head, initially, I instantly thought of Commander Shepard from Mass Effect. Robin posted the same as well, stole my thunder a little bit. But yeah, Commander Shepard, basically because he's a badass. He's full of action, he gets all the ladies, and he punches journalists in the face and walks off. And I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, I do like Commander Shepard. That's a good choice. Male or female, doesn't matter. trying to think of what other RPG character. And see, this is... Well, okay, favorite RPG character. So that's an interesting one, and I'm kind of circling back to Commander Shepard.
I don't suppose it has to be the protagonist, does it? It could be anyone, really.
No. Well, because I was just going to say...
Mm-hmm.
that's actually a really tough question to answer if you're looking at it from the protagonist view, because almost every RPG you play as a protagonist as yourself, usually.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, but characters, you know, then that opens, you know, you start just talking about all the different types of characters that you, you know.
Thank you. Play. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I look back at, some of the characters that, you know, I liked, trying to think of the name of the robot in Fallout 4. I want to say it was Bishop. It was a flying robot, mechanical robot. He had an English accent.
No, Bishop was a big robot in Aliens. It was called, was it somewhat silly like Cods, Mr. Cods,
Codsworth?
Codsworth, that's it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I did enjoy him.
I like Nick Valentine. He's a great character.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there were some of the characters. I mean, you know, I Fallout, for whatever reason, I know, is just kind of running through my, you know, my head. I'm thinking about the, was it the Man in Black in Fallout, Fallout 3? Was it the guy that got you to blow up the city?
I never played that. I didn't get that far into it. I give up on that.
Okay. I'm trying to think of anybody else. I mean, it can go into all of the, and hello, I can't believe Kim isn't even talking about Dragon Age right now. There's
a list.
She listed a lot of Dragon Age ones on Facebook.
All right.
Let's run through that list. Well, you know, this is, like he said, it'd be character. So I play a lot of RPGs. I can't pick just one. I guess if I tried, it'd be Geralt. Because, you know, Geralt, he's a fucking badass. I mean, what's not to like? So, but, you know, if I'm going through Dragon Age, there's Alistair, there's Beric, there's Dorian, there's the Bull, there's Blackwall, you know, and then you've got Geralt and Ciri and Triss. I mean, you know, I don't like Yennefer, so don't even get me started. So, you know, and then, you know, if you're looking at it protagonist-wise, it'd be me, because I'm, like, in Dragon Age, you are, you know, the protagonist. So, you know, I am the badass. Yeah.
And Jason chiming in, Ciri is definitely a good character you come across within the Witcher series. I think actually one of my favorite characters, and it's because of the storyline that stems from The Witcher 3, and it's the Baron. Loved his character because he was, I mean, you meet him and you're just like, what an asshole. And you have no empathy for him. And then the story unfolds and obviously choices and things matter, and suddenly I found myself very much liking his character. So it was like a full 180 in terms of the direction of which I was looking at him. So yeah, the Baron would be kind of one of my favorites just because of how that played out.
Yep.
All right. So the next question is from Darren Hilton, and he asks, has there ever been a show segment that one of you has wanted to bring into this podcast but has never seen the light of day? And what was it, and why was it never used?
Yeah, no, that's interesting. We've talked about stuff. We absolutely have talked. I'm trying to think
We're
of
always
something
bandied
specific.
Ideas around, aren't we? But,
yeah, we've definitely thrown out a lot of ideas. You know, the quiz, that was one that has had some iterations that we've talked about, wanted to try and do. You know, in fact, I think back, you know, in the day, originally, we were talking about doing a quiz that was kind of using video game clips and things. And this is much earlier in the show's lifetime. And we kind of nixed it at the time because it was intense. It was you had to do a lot of prep work for it. And the tools that we had at the time, I don't think really allowed for it, at least not as well. And then, Mark, you really were able to kind of pull that through this past year. So, you know, that's one that hit the cutting room floor, but we picked it back up for a little while. But, I mean, to this day, that's still, you know, we love the notion of doing audio clips and video clips for the quizzes, but it is super time intensive. And so, you know, that's why, you know, Mark, you took a break.
Yeah. That's why Nicole.
Yeah. Anytime you're,
Nicole and you got to be
took
careful
up the mantle after Jason.
Yeah.
Jason was doing it for us for a while too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With the video stuff, you see, you've got to be careful because you've got a lot of audio listeners who listen to the podcast afterwards.
Right.
So you can't go too video intensive, so that's why I went more for the audio.
Yeah, not to mention, you know, you never know, you know, when you're going to get a Nintendo strike if you're not paying attention.
Yeah. How did you hear about last week's Veteran Gamers? They got banned off YouTube for a short period of time for playing something.
So. Shady, those Veteran Gamers guys. Totally shady. But yeah, so I think Video Quiz is the one that never really saw the light of day for us. It morphed into other things.
Yeah.
We went to audio clips. You know, Nicole right now is doing the phrases, you know, who said it best. So I think that's probably the closest thing to a segment that never really saw the light of day. So
yeah, all the other sort of ideas we've actually gone ahead with, haven't we? We've always give it a go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we try.
Yeah,
we try.
Yeah. And then Jason Johnson came up with another question. He's actually put, I thought of another one. What game have you purchased at full price and then felt like it should have been cheaper? What do you think would have been a fair price for it?
Hmm. So my instant thought is Aliens Colonial Marines. Bought that at full price. That game should have been a $30 budget title from the get-go. And I don't think I would have been happy even paying that. I think I would have been happy maybe paying $10 for that game.
Mm. All right. Well, the one for me would be Defiance. Remember Defiance?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the 360 one. Yeah. I bought that day one. Yep.
Paid $60 for it. I think it should have been free to play. I'm just saying it was rough.
The irony is it's free to play now.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Because that had so many frame rate issues, and the whole idea of it was to MMO into these enemies and loads of people attack it, but the slowdown on that was like 5 frames per second. It was shocking. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely a good one. Mark, anything you can call?
Not off the top of my head, no.
No. It's No Man's Sky.
No.
Well, I waited. I bought it in a sale. So, but yeah, that's a good thing, because now it is worth it, but back then it wasn't.
It definitely is worth it now.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
I didn't pay full price for it anyway. I think I got it cheap, but the long-awaited Duke Nukem Forever, that was delayed and delayed and delayed, and then there was so much hype for it when it came out, and it was absolute garbage. But I don't think I paid full price for it anyway.
So here's a game. I did not actually pay full price for this, so you know I don't quite meet the question challenge, if you will, but Sea of Thieves.
Yeah.
I think Microsoft should have made this a free-to-play game. I think they could have made it a free-to-play model, and it would have been better served just because of how it released and how it came out. It's not to say it's a bad game. It's not to say that what they were doing, I think they've supported it well, and it's evolved nicely. But how it came out, the state at which it came out, and just the presentation of the game felt like something that would be kind of free-to-play. I think it's a game that could have been supported with microtransactions for just character customization, and they probably would have been okay. So I felt pretty bad for anybody that did pay full price for that game, because I didn't think that that it warranted it.
Mm. Yeah. So yeah, thank you very much for your questions. Very much appreciated. It gives a good bit of a discussion there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excellent.
No weird questions, mostly.
No, for the most part, we're good. All right, Kim,
yes.
Let's talk about games coming out in the coming week.
All righty. Here are your new releases for August 17th through the 24th, and they are in Prepare Yourself. It's a big list. We have Shenmue 1 and 2 out for the PS4 and Xbox One and PC on the 21st. We have Guacamelee 2 for the PS4 and PC out the 21st. And we have F1 2018 for the PS4, Xbox One, and PC out on the 24th. So fire up your engines.
Racing fans are going to be happy.
Yeah, that's out earlier this year than... Man, it's not far off September. That normally comes out mid-September, does the F1 game. That's coming out a bit earlier than what it has done in the past.
Interesting.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. What is going on? Victories achieved. That's what's going on. All right. Victories achieved. If you do not know what this is, you're missing out. Semi-truck, or was that a motorcycle?
What I think it was a regular truck with really loud exhaust.
Okay. All right.
Welcome to the country, folks.
Yep, there we go. All right, victory's achieved. So this is very simple. This is our attempt to give you free money. Basically, if you beat a game, we want you to take a picture of yourself. This is called a selfie, by the way, for those of the cool kids, not in the cool kids club. Take a selfie with the game in the background that you just beat and just simply get onto Twitter and tweet us at @OC_podcast. Put in the hashtag victory achieved. And let us know what game you just beat. And what happens then, it's super complicated. At that point in time, your name goes onto a list. It's not a government list, mind you. It's just a list that we keep internally. We do not resell your name for any other purposes other than making our own money. And so we take that name, we put it onto our list, and we will choose one person only. They will get selected between now, well, technically July 1st, and September 30th. And when we select that one person, we will reach out to that one person and give them a hearty congratulations and tell them that they have won the Victories Achieved contest for that quarter. And they now get $20 or 15 pounds, depending upon where you live. And it can be either for PSN, Xbox Live, or Steam. We don't include Nintendo because nobody likes Nintendo except for one person in the chat right now. sorry, Jason. So there you go. It's that simple. Just beat the game. Let us know you beat the game, and you just might be lucky enough to win $20 or subtract 5, 15 pounds in the UK. And you could be cool like these people that have completed games recently. We've got Fraser Moo, who finished 10 million. I don't even think that's a game. No, I think he just randomly put.
It's a game.
The screenshot he took of it looked like his kids had drawn it.
Like a puzzle game, I think. But yeah, so Fraser Moose completed 10 million.
He gave it high praise anyway.
I'm sure he did. He had to sell it really well to us. Empower343 finished Assassin's Creed Origins.
Nice one. That's a great game.
John Mouse finished Yakuza Kiwami.
Hang on.
Mark Hanix.
Oh, I'm too late. I couldn't find it. I was going to play this.
Japan!
this Marcanix chap, I'm not sure who he is. He finished Mafia 3. Yeah. Somebody that we all know and love, Ginger Balls. He finished Red Dead Redemption. Well done.
He really enjoyed that as well, yeah.
It's a good game.
It's a superb game. Yeah, the story's
it's
fantastic.
An awesome game.
Yep.
Lots of good games on this list, including Halo Wars that just got finished by DynoctiQ.
Yeah. Some of the best cutscenes ever on the 360.
Yes. In fact, if you ever want to watch just a great little mini movie, I highly recommend going onto YouTube and find the Halo Wars, all the scenes pulled together.
It plays out
like a little movie. It's fantastic stuff. All right. And of course, now that you all have beat these games, you all are now treated to this loving, embracing sound. You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. All right. There we have it. Yes, congratulations. And maybe you just might get lucky and win our next draw. All right. We have talked. We kind of hit where we thought we'd be, right around an hour and a half-ish. Mm-hmm. Ish. Subtract 5. We're closer. Hey, look, if you want to be part of the conversation, we are on twitch.tv/OC podcast, mixer.com/OC podcast, and youtube.com/OC Overseas Connection podcast. We are on these channels every Sunday at 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast, and 6 p.m. if you happen to live in Easter Island. So get on, take part in the chat, have some fun. You can be like these cool people. Kim, read us off some names real fast.
Alrighty. I got a list here, believe it or not. I'm on.
Love a good list.
Yes. We have Decap Smurf, Commander Boot, Apple, Bad Apple, Horizon, RCGC, Baron Von Glamour, Slow Cool, Matt Mon Gaming, Pablo Plays, Pilch, and Star for Help.
There you go.
Thank you, people.
So, yeah, thanks for taking part in the chat and taking part in the show. Of course, if you can't listen to us live and you are forced to listen to us in the middle of the night or maybe while you're at work, well, the good news is you can. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're on Google Play. We're even on Alexa, apparently. Yep. Alexa, turn off all devices. But if you're on one of these services, these audio only services, the old school technology, you can give us a review. Leave us a review. That would be helpful. Helps us kind of be found. So there's that. If you need to feel like you're part of a community, you want to be part of something more than just our chat, you can be part of a club. We have the OC Podcast Club on Xbox One. We have the OC Podcast Community on PS4. We have the OC Podcast Group on Steam. We even have a Discord server for the Overseas Connection Podcast. It's OC Podcast server on Discord. That's the future. So go check it out. Be part of that. Teflon 12, you know you want to be part of one of those clubs. Sign up to it. You too, Sarah. Just get on a club. Be part of the fun, Star for Help. Be on a club. Don't deny us. Jeff Stab, you know you want to be part of a club. All right. I think we now need to hear from our favorite podcaster not on the show right now.
Robin's on holiday, huh?
You like us. We like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter at @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
I'm President Xbox.
Rich Webster, right at the end. That's a little shocking to hear.
It's a little scary there, but
I know, it's like all sultry and then rich. All right. Did Gary ever get his podcast taken care of? Did we do this?
I've never heard. No.
I see in the show notes. All right. Listen, if you're listening to this right now, I want you to jump on Twitter. I want you to send a tweet off to @TheRealDefoe. That's Gary DeFelice. He's the newest guy on our team. Shoot him a message and say, "You make the podcast worse. Thanks." And then tell him you want his copy of PUBG for Xbox. Just do that. He said he's going to announce the show, announce the winner sometime between August 18th and 19th, but he never told us anything. So he's being a twat, a lazy bastard, sitting on the beach having beers. So for that, we want you to spam his Twitter. Okay, so just do that for us.
I've just gone through the last week's mentions for OC Podcast, and I can't see anything with Gary. So we obviously all hate him. They're all fed up of him already. He's only been on once, and they've had enough of him. So
remember, @TheRealDefoe, you make the podcast worse. And you can include us @OC_podcast. Yeah. Just throw us in there for shits and giggles. Why not? All right.
I'll retweet every single one of them.
Awesome.
Yes. Ashley, we will like and retweet. Yeah. We will get you famous. All right. I really have talked way too much. Mark, why don't you do some closing notes here?
What, my shout-outs?
Or shout-outs. Yeah, why not?
You can find me at MarkAnnex on Twitter, and I am MarkAnnex on Xbox Live, PSN, and Steam. And I'm on Discord as well as MarkAnnex. So, yeah, get me on all those mediums. I want to shout out you guys. There's just three of us tonight. We've gone quite well, nearly 2 hours on the podcast. It's been a lot of fun, so I've really enjoyed it. I've been feeling a bit naff this weekend, so it's really picked me up, so I feel really good now. Thank you very much. And I want to shout out the guys who gave us questions on Facebook. Let me scroll back to where they were. They were scrolling. Kill for time, I can't find them. It was Mr. Hassinger, Thomas Hassinger, Jim Martin, Jason Teflon 12, and Darren Hilton. I think I've got that right. So, I've just found it now. Now it's too late. Yeah, so shout out to those guys for the questions. Thank you very much. Over to you, Kim.
Yeah, that's me. I'm GamerGirl27. That's Twitter. That's Xbox. Everywhere. PlayStation. It's GamerGirl, G-U-R-L, underscore 27. One day I will get my original back, hopefully. I want to shout out you guys, because it's always fun. You're like my little connection to the world that isn't mine, thank God. I want to shout out our Shatters, because, you know, you're the reason we do this. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of idiots talking to themselves on a webcam, which seems really strange.
We so, are full-on idiots.
Well, and we are still really strange, but you accept us anyway, so thank you for that. And like Mark said, thanks for sending us questions that weren't exactly strange. I appreciate that. I was a little worried there for a while we were going to get some really hot ones. But, thanks for that. Over to you there, Tank Top.
Well, I just would like to thank the two of you. Thanks for making the podcast a fun show today. Thank you to everybody who did submit questions, even if they are strange. You got to like a little strange once in a while. Just saying.
Mix it up. You got to mix it up.
Yep. There you go. And on really in that note, I think all that less has to be said. That was really hard for me to
get out. You really struggled with that, didn't you?
Well, it's because I've got a mental image right now, and this is what I was going to talk about, which is, Robin, please stop sending us pictures of your half-naked ass on the beach. We don't want to see this, Robin. And I'm just saying, from all appearances – the drapes are not matching the curtains these days. So maybe you should fix that, my friend. Maybe you should fix that.
Yeah. On that note. Ginger there, so, yeah, come.
Yeah. Like a race. No, never mind. We're leaving now. Yeah. This is it. The podcast is done. We really need to go now. I need to get something, a drink or something, because the image in my head is bad.
I'll see you in 2 weeks. I'm on a holiday next week, so yeah.
Yes, Mark, enjoy the holiday. Yeah. You're going on a Shagathon, I believe. That's what you said.
Yeah, first time in years, me and Jenny, just the two of us going away, nice romantic weekend in a nice big posh hotel. So, yeah, can't wait.
Shagathon.
Yeah. I'll have to ask for some instructions. It's been that long, I can't remember what to do.
Yeah. Like, by the way, everybody, this is also our forewarning that next week's show is going to be riddled with all kinds of issues from a technology standpoint. So you're welcome for that in advance.
Yeah, it's all going to be on you, Greg, because Robin's still on holiday.
Yeah.
So good luck with that. I'll try watch live.
Yeah. It'll be something will go wrong for sure, guaranteed.
Yeah.
All right, now I'm nervous and I'm going to cry. I got to go. Mark, play some music.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.